Hello?
This is your morning wake-up call, Miss Miller.
Right. Yeah, cheers. Wait, I didn't ask for one.
Oh, I'm sorry. We did receive a request from this line yesterday afternoon asking for a wake-up call.
Right, yeah. I know who'll have done that. Thank you. Oh, and the alarm too. Oh, thanks, Doctor, for making sure I don't sleep through the alleged best part of the day.
The 21st of October, 2015.
Where's my dressing gown?
The storms which have been battering the Caribbean for almost a full week finally abated last night. The Cuban president has blamed the catastrophic events on climate change. America has not yet commented on whether it will assist the cleanup effort in Cuba.
Doctor? Doctor! Did you order a wake-up call for me? Where is he?
Not involved in the incident. Contact has still not been made with Britain's Terra Nova space probe, say scientists at the project's tracking station in Buckinghamshire. Project head, Dr. Avishka Sangakkara, has drawn comparisons with the apparent disappearance of NASA's solar probe 2 days ago.
Oh, right. That's where he'll be then.
Hello. I was told you wanted to see me.
Dr. Sangakkara?
Yes.
Delighted to meet you. I'm the doctor. I hear you're having some trouble with a space probe.
You hear correctly. I'm told it's another charming example of British amateurism, which is marvellous for the people who find this amusing, but rather a kick in the teeth for me, having spent 4 years of my life and £75 million of other people's money on it.
But NASA has also lost touch with its solar probe.
Exactly. And the proximity of these two events is an insane coincidence. I'm convinced that this is not the result of any failings in the craft itself.
So am I. Would you like some help with finding out what's really going on?
I'm afraid I can't just let anybody...
No, quite right, too, but I'm not just anybody. I used to advise units on this sort of thing. Check my credentials, if you like. But can we get cracking?
Hello?
Did you get my note?
What note?
I'm sure I left a note, didn't I?
No, but it's all right. I worked it out. You're off helping them find that missing space thing, aren't you? Because it sounds exactly like something you do. Okay, well, hopefully London has enough shops to keep me occupied for an entire day.
I don't know how long this will take. It might not be that long. I'll meet you back at the hotel later.
Lucy!
I don't believe it.
No, honestly, I'll meet you back...
No, not that. Someone's just crawled out from the woodwork. I'll call you back.
All right.
Lucy!
Keep away from me, Karen. I've got, like, a sonic thing in my handbag that'll mess you up.
Lucy, calm down, babe. I'm not working for the headhunter anymore.
Oh, no?
No. She fired me 3 years ago and dumped me back on Earth. I'm living back in London now. Are you still with the doctor?
Yeah. So, what happened with you and her?
Long story.
I've got time.
All right, then. It's good to see you. It's so cool that I bumped into you like this.
This is David, one of our research assistants.
David, hello. So, where did you lose this thing?
The probe was scheduled to dive through the exosphere of Mercury in 4 days' time.
Ah, you're following up the messenger probe, then?
Yes, we were very much hoping to get some water samples. NASA is tied up with other projects, so we decided to step in and get there first.
Ambitious. So where was NASA's solar probe when they lost contact?
Not far away. It was just nearing Mercury itself.
What are you getting when you try to make contact?
Nothing.
Do you mind if I listen to your nothing?
When I got back, I had no home. My mum had died. Couldn't find my dad, no surprise there. And getting a job was impossible.
Yeah, hard to explain that gap on your CV.
It'll happen to you too, when you stop travelling with the doctor.
It'll be different with him.
Yeah, he'll probably say sorry when he does it. Anyway, I was on the streets for a while, living in squats.
Blimey, that must have been awful.
Pretty much as you'd imagine, yeah.
But are you okay now?
Yeah, things are great. I met these people called the Eightfold Truth. It's a life course. They taught me how to work through my problems.
By teaching you to build a house?
They showed me that my whole attitude to life had brought me to that point and how to change it. And they let me work for them in exchange for food and somewhere to stay. It's turned my life around, given me a new sense of purpose.
Wow, that's nice.
You know, Lucy, I think you might need their help too.
No. I'm good, thanks.
Are you sure? All that bombing around you do with the doctor, it seems to me that you're looking for something.
I don't think so. And even if I am, so what?
You've got to look inside yourself. These people can help you do that. Just come along to one of their centres. There's one about 5 minutes' walk from here.
Look, I should get going.
Lucy, wait. I can't say too much, but something's coming, and we're the only ones that are prepared for it. I don't want you to get left behind.
Why do you care what happens to me?
I didn't behave well towards you. This is my way of making it up to you. Please, just let me do this.
Well, I still think it sounds a bit weird, but all right, I'll come and see what it's about.
May I use one of your computers?
Yes, you can use this one.
Thank you.
You're creating a program? From scratch?
Well, from memory, actually.
It is safe, isn't it? I mean, I can trust you not to lose some virus into our systems.
Unit vouched for me, didn't they?
Yes. There are just so many agendas at work these days.
My only agenda is to help. Though I've backed up all your documents just in case.
Thanks.
What sort of computer do you have on board that probe?
2 command and data, 2 guidance and control, each governed by a Mongoose 5 processor.
Not anymore.
What do you mean?
Something's got hold of your probe, and it's changing the technology on board. That's why you can't receive the signal. It's no longer putting out anything that your receivers can understand.
How do you know this?
Experience.
Hi, Rob.
Karen, good to see you. How's your balance today?
Very solid, thanks. Rob, this is Lucy. She's interested in getting reviewed.
Reviewed?
That's just what we call our introductory session. It's very straightforward. I ask you some questions and you give me truthful answers.
And then?
If you've got any problems, I can help you work through them. We believe in natural therapeutic techniques involving energy crystals to bring your psyche back into balance.
Hang on. I don't want to get reviewed. I just said I'd come along to see what you're about. I'm not sure I like the sound of all this, to be honest.
Oh, we can just talk then. That's fine too. Please, sit down.
All right.
Take one of the energy crystals.
Yes, they help you to clear your mind. They reduce confusion and help you to relax and to be more honest.
No, thanks. Look, Karen says you know how the universe really works and that. So, like, do you have a set of beliefs or something?
We believe in the world.
Well, that's not hard. I believe in the world and all.
We believe the world can be a better place than it is. We believe there is a next stage of human achievement and our mission is to help people get there.
And make sure people don't get left behind.
Please, we'll be able to explain our philosophy to you better when we know more about you. Oh, I see you decided to take the crystal after all.
Did I?
Oh. Tell me what you do for a living.
Pass.
You're unemployed.
Technically, I keep busy though. I travel around, help people.
That sounds like a good life. What's your aim in helping people?
Isn't that enough of a name in itself?
But you must have a clear plan. Otherwise, might you not end up doing more harm than good?
We've done all right so far.
And done. Now, what this program should do is to let your probe up there teach your systems down here how to work with it. So let's open that up. And then we apply...
Good grief!
And that's definitely our probe?
Yeah.
So what's this data it's pumping out?
I've no idea. Oh dear.
What?
Whatever's got hold of your probe. I think it's noticed what we're doing. Quickly shut everything down. Break contact with your probe.
But doctor...
Don't argue. Do it.
No, it's really not like that, mate. Karen, you know. Tell him.
Just listen to him, Lucy.
This doctor friend of yours, what kind of doctor is he?
I don't know. Why?
Some doctors practice unhealthy things. And it sounds to me like he's setting your agenda for you.
We're a team. I've shown him a thing or two in the past.
Ultimately, though, you are a part of his plan for helping the world. And you can't see the structure of his plan.
I don't think he's got one.
But how can you know? And if there's no plan, how can you hope to have any real impact on the world's suffering?
Well, what do you suggest?
Hey, keep it cool.
It's all right, Karen. It's not easy to be shown how small you really are. I think we should continue this at the Centre of Balance.
What's that?
Our headquarters. It's not far. We can take you there and have you back in a couple of hours.
I don't know. I really don't think you've got this right.
Oh, that's fair. Come and explain it to us.
I don't know. Where are we going?
We told you. We're going to the Centre of Balance.
Oh, yeah.
If you're lucky, you might get a chance to talk to Mr. Goodman.
Who?
He's our leader. He can explain it better than any of us can.
Are we here?
Yeah.
Isn't this the BBC?
It was the old television centre. We bought it 3 years ago. It's now our centre of balance. Come on. There's a large residential block, lecture rooms, teaching rooms. It's a whole cooperative community for people who work for the movement.
So all your members live here?
Oh, no. We have many, many members all around the world, lots of them living ordinary lives. But this is where our helpers live, people who need our support, like Karen.
Come on, let's find a room where we can talk.
I'm sorry about that.
What happened?
A deliberate attack from whatever it is that's got your probe.
You seem to think it's something alien?
It's very likely. It seemed to be trying to use your probe to communicate in some way, but it didn't seem like anyone wanted to chat.
We did equip the probe with a two-way communicator for just such an encounter, in case anyone or anything intelligent came across it.
It seemed to be repurposing the probe, trying to use it for something. Well, I'm not sure what, but something is up there. Are you in touch with anybody who might be able to see it?
Interesting point. A number of optical telescopes are reporting problems getting a clear view of that area.
What about radio?
Jodrell Bank think there's been a change, but they're not sure what it is. Arecibo is double-checking for us later today.
What about your systems?
They're back on now, but we've lost the probe for good. We did retrieve some data from it, though.
Well, that's good. That's very good. Give me a copy of that. I'll get out of your hair for a bit, get a room at a guest house or something, see if I can puzzle this out.
Right, Doctor. And thank you for all your help so far.
Thank me when we finish the job.
Everybody, this is Lucy.
Hi, Lucy.
Hello, Lucy.
Hi. I thought I was going to see the boss.
All in good time. Rob still wants to go through some stuff with you first. Can I get you some food?
Yes, thanks.
Please, take a seat. Do you still have the crystal?
Oh, yeah. I forgot I was holding it.
I told you, it has a very relaxing influence.
What are all these people doing?
Learning about themselves. Now, Lucy, what I detect in you is a tension between two opposing...
Look, before you start, I think I know enough about myself to know that you're not...
Are you all right, Lucy?
I'm fine. Probably just a bit hungry. But, yes, you're not going to draw me into joining your little group, okay? I can imagine the sort of people you bring in here. People who are vulnerable and don't have much going for them, like Karen.
Nobody's forcing you to do anything, Lucy. We want you to become empowered. Take hold of your own life. That's what we're about. After that, it's up to you what you do with the strength and knowledge we help you to unlock.
Okay. But I need to be back in town to meet my friend in a couple of hours.
That's fine. Now, I'd like to start by talking to you about your goals.
Hi, Lucy Miller can't come to the phone right now because she's off saving the universe. Please leave a message after the beep.
Lucy, hi, it's the Doctor. Sorry, I lost track of time. It's just 2 in the morning. I'm still working on this space probe business. I'll catch up with you in the morning.
I'm glad we've been able to work through these things, Lucy.
Do you really think he's been manipulating me all this time?
You practically said as much yourself.
I suppose I did. Oh, God. What have I been doing? I thought we were doing the right thing.
Listen. It's not too late.
Isn't it?
Well, maybe for tonight. It's gone 2 in the morning. But you've made the first move. That's massive. You're going to become your own person. Unlock your personal power.
Really?
I promise. This will change your whole world.
Good morning, Avishka.
Morning, Doctor. Sleep well?
Wonderfully. I slept for almost an hour. I think I've made a breakthrough.
Yes?
Yes. I think that by receiving the data, we've only done half the job. The probe itself didn't fully understand the data it was picking up. Whatever was out there, it was still working on repurposing the probe.
So...
I might have worked out a means of reverse converting the code.
Working out what original input created that output.
Exactly. Unfortunately, that involves a bit of guesswork. And it's never easy teaching computers how to guess. I'll get to work in a second. Could I use your telephone?
Of course.
Is that the Doctor?
Probably.
Are you going to answer it?
Hello?
Lucy, how did you get on?
I'm sorry, Doctor. I can't have you involved in my life right now. There's stuff I need to work through on my own.
What?
Goodbye, Doctor.
Well done, Lucy. That was a massive step.
I feel better for having done that. A lot better.
That's what it's like, all the way along.
Everything all right, Doctor?
No. Sorry, I'm just going to hijack your tracking systems a moment. I just need to trace a mobile phone.
You can't do that with these systems.
You can now. She's a television center. What's she doing there?
Oh, that's where the Eightfold Truth is based.
The Eightfold Truth?
You did very well last night, Lucy. And there's a reward for you.
Oh, good.
Yes. I'd like to introduce you to the first aspect of the truth.
Oh, right.
Yes. As our name suggests, there are eight aspects to the truth. The first is simple, that humankind must embrace its destiny and move towards it. Though we will all be moving in the same direction, we must all take the decision to do so for ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
You understand?
Absolutely.
Good. Now, could you put these on, please, Lucy?
Goggles?
They read changes in your brain activity via your temples. Now, I have some more questions for you, I'm afraid.
No, that's okay. I like the questions.
Good.
They've been around for a while, I think. But in the last few years, I've heard the name a lot more often. And in recent weeks, even more.
What are they about, exactly?
Dunno. Weird people, though. Very weird.
They make a great deal out of achieving your potential.
Doesn't sound like Lucy's sort of thing. Can I find out more?
Turn on the TV or listen to the radio. They've been all over the place in the last few weeks.
Welcome back. We're still talking to Clark Goodman, the founder of the group The Eightfold Truth, and Kelly Westwood, journalist and author of the book The Octopus Cult and its forthcoming sequel, Don't Believe the Truth.
I really have to take issue with the point Ms. Westwood made just before you went to the commercials. The former members you've interviewed, sadly, have grudges against us. They're disappointed by their failure to realise their potential. I think you are too.
Oh, I fully intend to realise my potential. In 5 days' time, to be precise, when my book comes out.
Ah, yes. What's the focus of your new book?
Well, some aspects of Mr. Goodman's truth have leaked out via the internet, but my book is the first to reveal all eight.
So what are they?
Well, you'll have to wait for the book. But some of it is, frankly, ripped off from Buddhist ideas.
We do believe
and
in
And I
a
would
similar...
add that Buddhist groups worldwide have condemned your group and are deeply alarmed that people might associate them with you.
Your approach to exposing our group is needlessly reductive.
Oh, there's nothing to reduce. It's nonsense. And the so-called energy crystal focusing techniques you claim help people actually make them highly suggestible.
We don't brainwash people, Ms. Westwood.
Oh, come on! You know that when people see this stuff in the cold light of day, you'll be a joke.
And I'm afraid that's all we have time for. Thank you both for coming on the show.
Great stuff, Kelly. Thanks again.
Pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Ms. Westwood. Ms. Westwood?
Yes?
I'm the doctor. I came here hoping to speak to Mr. Goodman. Is he not here?
Oh, no. He went out of a side exit. Let me guess. You want to know where your son or daughter is?
No, just a good friend of mine.
Yeah, well, that's why he goes out of side exits. There's always one or two of you waiting for him.
Actually, you might be even better. Can I buy you a coffee?
Thought you might want some water.
Thanks. Well, how did I do?
It's not a question of doing well or badly, Lucy. This process is about finding a course of action that's complementary with your...
Oh, my! Look at that!
What is it?
Is she really...
She is! Look! She is! Of all the people!
Their membership has increased fivefold in the past 5 years.
Why?
Well, I think they tell insecure, frustrated people what they want to hear, that they're important and special.
And that Goodman fellow is their leader?
Yeah, leader and founder back in 1987. He started out as a self-help guru type.
What's your take on it?
Oh, it's an ego trip, pure and simple. He's got a little army who'll do anything for him. The mythology behind it all, the most secret parts of the truth, is really bizarre stuff. But it makes his followers feel more distance from the rest of us and closer to each other.
What is this truth?
Well, I'm afraid that's the selling point of my book. I've only told a handful of people, my editor and so.
Please, my friend is in there. I'm worried about her.
A lot of people's friends are in there. I'm hoping my book will bring down the whole shebang and help them all. Besides, how do I know you're not one of them, sent to find out what I know?
Yes, I thought you might say that. Well, I won't take up any more of your time.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you for the coffee. Maybe I'll see you again?
I imagine so.
Hang on a minute. I put down my bag on this side. Sneaky, you stole my book out of my bag!
I'm just borrowing it. Don't worry, I won't let any spoilers out.
Hello?
Mr. Goodman?
Ah, Rob, did you hear me on the radio?
I'm afraid I was busy.
Oh, well, no doubt someone will have recorded it. You can hear it
Mr.
later.
Goodman, something unusual has come up at an induction.
Oh?
Yes. I did her brain map this morning, and the computer says she's a perfect match for the chosen one.
What?
Yes.
Have you told anyone about this?
Well, it got around pretty fast. Besides, it wouldn't be ethical for there to be secrets at the center.
Of course, you're right. I was just concerned about raising false hope. Has Mary checked the result?
Not yet.
Well, have her do that. I'll be back shortly.
What the?
Good grief! Doctor, what on earth
are... I meant to land outside the building. Sorry, it's not in your way, is it?
What is it?
Oh, this is my ship. I don't have time to explain. How is the computer getting on with the reverse conversion?
Slowly. I can extract some fragments of the data if you'd like to take a look at them.
So what does it mean? The results I got on the test?
It means you could be very, very important to the organisation.
We're coming up to a very important time. It all fits into place.
So who's Mary?
She's in charge of all our technical stuff. She'll check your results over to make sure we haven't made a mistake.
Good luck. We're all hoping it's true.
Thanks.
This is Mary.
Hello. I'm Lucy Miller, and... Hang on. Did I know you?
No, not at all. This is the first time we've ever met, and my name is Mary Bradbury.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Rob, could you leave us to talk alone, please?
Yes, of course.
Now, Lucy, please sit down.
There's no chair.
I know. Please sit on the floor.
Okay.
Now, Lucy, please relax and try to empty your mind. Focus on the music.
I thought you were going to check my results.
Shh. This is very important. Don't speak. Just empty your mind.
Can you make sense of the data, Doctor?
It's familiar. Worryingly familiar. It's the computer language my own people use. It drives my vehicle, for instance.
Your people?
Well, that should make things easier, but what's it for? Oh, no.
What is it, Doctor?
Look at this. I read this book on the way here. The Eighth Aspect of the Eightfold Truth. Read it.
There will come to Earth within your lifetime a rebel son whose file will cleanse the planet of all but the loyal followers of the Eightfold Truth. It is gibberish.
I thought so too, but this data that your probe is bringing in comes from something called a stellar manipulator, an artificial sun. Maybe this is what they're talking about. Maybe our problems are connected.
Doctor, this parcel just arrived for you.
Parcel? Give it to me. Don't jolt it. Just put it in my hands carefully.
What is it?
Get everybody out of here immediately.
Do you think,
Now!
Evacuate the building, please, everybody, quickly! You too, David.
Take the TARDIS key and open the door for me.
What is it, Doctor?
I don't know, but apart from Unit and Lucy, nobody knows I'm here, and Unit would have told me if something was coming.
You think it's what, a bomb?
Very possibly. No idea what kind. You leave too. I can deal with it safely in the TARDIS, but it might go off at any moment. Go.
Right. Good luck, Doctor.
Okay. No! Ah!
I'm getting a bit scared.
There's no need. Relax. Turn off your mind. Float downstream.
What is that thing?
Your new mistress.
No! No, keep away from me! No!
Thank you.
Hello, hello?
Mr. Smith is awake.
Doctor, if you don't mind. How long have I been unconscious?
23 days.
Has anything happened while I was asleep?
Well, you could say that.
Right now, amidst all the speculation, have we brought this on ourselves? Is there any way to stop it? The overwhelming sense among the public is that we've been let down. Politicians and scientists have no explanation, and more importantly, no solution.
I was watching that.
I'm sorry. I can't watch any more of it. It's just... Is it our fault?
No, of course not.
I just can't shake the feeling that when it gets here, it'll be gunning for us first.
Oh, nonsense. They're saying we might be able to go back into the tracking station today if it gets the all clear.
What's the point?
David, where are you going?
I'm sorry.
You're not going to join up with them, are you? David! Hello. Oh, thank you for letting me know. When did he wake up?
Enjoying the sunshine, Clark?
Yeah, I feel a little claustrophobic in there. You have explained to people that they can stay in their own homes, haven't you? I mean, they don't have to stay here. We're a life course, not a cult.
They want to come here because you're here. The closer they are to you, the safer they feel.
I can't help missing the place as it used to be.
Soon we'll have the whole world to spread out into.
Yes, so we will.
The latest recruitment statistics are in. Worldwide membership now stands at 244 million.
That's a big number. Slightly bigger than yesterday's big number.
You should be proud. After decades of hard work, this is your vindication.
Yeah, I know, you're not the first person to say that. It's all been remarkable. More than I ever expected.
But you must have known that your prophecies would come true one day.
Of course. It's just taking some time to adjust to.
They tell me you brought me in, Abishka.
Well, I called the ambulance as soon as I heard the explosion.
I'm afraid I don't remember anything much after my meeting with Miss Westwood. But thank you.
The doctors are amazed you survived. The parcel contained small explosive vials of polonium-210. You suffered serious radiation poisoning.
I've had worse. Although on that occasion it actually killed me.
I'm sorry, are you talking about reincarnation?
Regeneration. I'm not human. Sometimes my people can cheat death, if we're lucky.
I see.
You don't seem surprised.
Everything seems plausible these days. How did you survive, then?
The greatest danger was breathing it in. So I shut down my respiratory system as soon as I realized what was happening. Then I induced the coma so my body could repair the damage. I didn't think it would take quite so long. Still better than wasting a regeneration. So what have I missed?
You mean you haven't looked out of the window?
The blind's been drawn. Why?
I'll show you.
I see. Now that you mention it, it is unseasonably warm for November.
They call it the Rebel Sun.
Who does?
The Eightfold Truth. It was in that book you showed me, just before you passed out.
Yes. I remember now. This is what your probe was picking up.
It was shielding itself from view. Astronomers spotted it a few days after you collapsed. Pretty soon it was visible to the naked eye, and it's still getting closer. They say it'll reach us in a couple of days. What is it?
What do they say it is?
Well, they say it's a roving star that's come to judge us, and their followers are the only ones who'll survive its coming.
And you don't believe that?
No. But nobody has been able to come up with anything more convincing. You recognized it, though. It was one of the last things you said.
It's a stellar manipulator. Technology designed by my own people.
Did you bring it here?
No. Although last time I saw it, it was on the other side of the universe.
What does it do?
What does it do? The clue is in the name. The stellar manipulators were built by my people to manipulate all forms of stellar energy from all forms of stars.
But to what purpose?
You know, I'd rather not go into that just now. But it'll be sucking energy from your sun as we speak. So essentially it's just a vast powerhouse. It could destroy the world, but not of its own accord. Someone is controlling it. So the question is, what do they want?
Is this a good time, Mr. Goodman?
I'm told it is, yes. How can I help you?
I'd like to speak in private.
We have no secrets in the center, Rob.
Mr. Goodman?
She's right, Rob. Speak freely.
I'm representing a group of us.
Who's us?
The longest-standing members of the group.
Longer-standing? My understanding was that you've only been with us for a couple of years.
I mean those of us who joined up before the coming of the Rebel Sun.
In the minority these days.
Yes, that's what I wanted to bring up with you. It's just that some of us feel that the membership is growing a little too fast.
How can the membership grow too fast? We are dedicated to our mission, to spread the word. We should be delighted that Mr. Goodman's message is spreading so fast, so far and wide.
Yes, but we have noticed that the entrance procedure has become less thorough recently.
You think so?
It just seems like people are being moved through faster. A lot of new members aren't having full review sessions.
Rob, time is short. We don't have the resources. We are committed to saving anyone who is willing to commit themselves to us.
But how can we be sure that they really are committed?
Well, yes, how can we? We must simply trust to faith.
Are you running short of faith, Rob?
We had faith that our way of life was right, that Mr. Goodman would lead us well, that when the Rebel Sun came, we would be rewarded for our loyalty. We took all this on trust. Those people out there, they didn't have to take any of it on trust. So how loyal can you expect them to be?
Is that what you're worried about? I can reassure you, Rob, that your friends will be recognized and rewarded for their loyalty.
Really?
I can promise it.
Most people will simply point to the sky and say, surely these people were right all along.
I think that at least as many people, though, are questioning what they see. Isn't it all a bit convenient? And I think it's pretty clear that most of these new recruits don't believe in the group's philosophy at all. They've just been told that if they join up, they'll be safe. So what's going to happen afterwards? What does this organisation want with a vast number of followers who aren't actually interested in their beliefs?
You used to claim...
I can't believe that their offer to save anyone and everyone who wants to run away and join their circus is purely altruistic. All I want is for people to stop panicking, which I know isn't easy right now, and look at this objectively. If this is the con-trick of the millennium, do you want to be one of the millions who fell for it?
Kelly Westwood, thank you.
How many members do they have now?
Last I heard, it was in the hundreds of millions, worldwide, and going up every day.
Is my TARDIS still at the tracking station?
The police box, yes. We had it moved into a storage room, but it's still there.
Excellent. That means the station should be clear of radiation. Anything left will have been soaked up by the TARDIS. Could you do something for me?
Of course.
Somewhere there'll be a signal being broadcast from Earth in the same computer language we picked up from the probe. That'll be the controller for the manipulator, drawing it here. The modifications I made to your systems to track Lucy's mobile should mean you can pinpoint it.
Right. I suppose you should stay here and rest, just to be on the safe side.
Of course not. There's someone I need to see. I'm going to book myself a taxi and check myself out.
Next, please. Name?
David Mason.
Hold this crystal, please. And could you put this on as well, please?
Okay. Whatever you need me to do. Do you want to know why I want to join up or anything?
This isn't a job interview. If you come to us for help, we'll help you. I'm afraid with all the new members that are coming in, we're a bit limited how much attention we can give individual members.
Of course.
We can promise you, however, that when things calm down here, everyone will get the help they require, okay?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, actually, your scan has shown some quite interesting things. You feel guilty about what's happening, somehow responsible.
You can tell that?
Oh, this software is amazing. You know, there's really no need to feel the way you're feeling. I think there's someone who might like to talk to you some more. Hello? Is that Lucy?
Where are we going, Gav?
Hampstead. Lovely weather for the time of year.
Yeah, well, it's good we're getting something out of having two sons.
So what's your take on all this business?
Oh, I don't know about all that mumbo-jumbo those weirdos are saying. Alien technology, I reckon.
You really think so?
Oh, yeah. Those truth geezers just got lucky. People predict all kinds of stuff all the time. Anything that happens, someone probably predicted it. They don't know nothing.
Well, it's a relief to hear
I joined up anyway. Not that I want to be hanging out with those nutters, but better be safe than sorry, you know?
Hello, are you Lucy?
You must be David. It's good to meet you. Please, sit down. I see you already have a crystal. That's good.
Yes.
Hold it out to me. Let me touch it. I'll be able to connect with you better.
Really?
Ah, yes. You're worried. And not just about the Rebel Sun. This has been building for some time, hasn't it?
I suppose.
You've spent the last few years being very dedicated to your work. That's good. We need dedicated people. But you've been filled with a growing sense of emptiness.
Why do you say that?
You've spent those years looking out to space. Everything out there seems so vast and random, doesn't it? How can we hope to matter?
I do sometimes wonder what it all means, yeah.
But what if it all means nothing?
Then I'll have to face it.
But you don't want to.
But I haven't got a choice. Nothing else seems true to me.
Oh, how awful. Terrified of the only thing you can bring yourself to believe in.
Tell me what else I can do.
We can take that away. Give you something you can believe in. It won't be long now.
Milk, no sugar, wasn't it?
That's correct. Oh, as promised, the copy of your book I borrowed.
Borrowed, stole, what's the difference, eh?
Yes, look, I'm sorry, it was important. I might have been able to do something about this if I hadn't fallen ill before I got the chance.
Well, it all seems irrelevant now, anyway. We managed to keep it all embargoed until the day of publication. I did a TV appearance where I revealed it all, big publicity, and that turned out to be the same day that the astronomers started to see it.
This so-called rebel sun.
Yeah, they used me. They wanted to get their prophecy out through an independent source just before it came true.
But why keep it to themselves for so long?
Well, if they said it 3 months ago, everybody would have thought they were crackpots. I think they needed to build their power base before the rush of converts when the sun did appear. Though how they're managing to orchestrate that part is beyond me.
Well, the sun is a piece of technology created by my own people. I'm not human, you see.
Right. And I'm just supposed to buy that.
If you want to have any chance of stopping them, you're going to need my help. I'm giving you the truth about that thing.
What if you're just feeding me this stuff to discredit me and drive people to them all the faster?
Well, I suppose I can't blame you for being wary.
Oh, sorry. I'll need a little more than you're giving me.
Right, fine. Excuse me.
Where are you going? You haven't even finished your tea!
Aha, spot on, look at that. Even my tea is still hot.
All right, what just happened?
I went down the road, jumped on the tube, took a train out of Marylebone, got off at Chalfont and Latimer, caught a cab to the tracking station, checked how Dr. Sangakkara was getting on, got back into the TARDIS, travelled back in time just under 2 hours, back to you here.
You've got a time machine?
Yes.
Wow! Can you use it to go back and sort this out before...
No, I can't. Doing what I just did is dodgy enough. Short hops are manageable. Anything bigger, and I could end up on the other side of the universe. Anyway, I only did this because I needed to convince you. And we can't afford to waste any more time.
Hey, can we go back and see the Kennedy assassination?
No, emphatically not. We've got work to do, and... Well, we've got work to do. Otherwise, the wondrous history of this little planet may well come to an end in a matter of days.
Mr. Goodman.
Rob, sit down, please.
I hope I didn't speak out of turn earlier, but I just wanted
Not at all. Who else is here? You're all long-standing members, yes?
Yes.
Good. I would like your honest opinion on something.
Yes. Well, there are no secrets in the centre.
Then tell me what you think of Lucy, our chosen one.
She seems to be influencing our direction quite considerably.
And it seems to me that you're not all entirely reconciled to our direction. Correct me if I'm wrong.
We do have some reservations about the new members.
But she did promise that we would be rewarded, didn't she?
She did, yes. But I have to confess that I don't know what she means by that.
You said that a chosen one would come and that they would bring new knowledge.
I did, yes. But it... Well... It hasn't quite occurred the way I expected. I thought the Chosen One would emerge after I was gone.
I see. Well, maybe she's come now because we need her now.
I think I'm questioning whether I interpreted my own intimations correctly where she's concerned. This doesn't feel right to me. Does it feel right to you?
No.
We've all been waiting so long for this, and now it's almost here. We want it to be right.
Well said, Rob. Well said. I want you to talk to others, people you know you can trust. Make sure they know it isn't disloyal to hold doubts about her.
So if the sun is going to destroy those who aren't part of the group, how will it know who's who?
Well, it's always been the case that their members are given crystals, like a pseudo-meditation thing, when they're initiated. So anybody with a crystal will be spared, they say.
Do you have one I could look at?
Ugh, no chance. Anybody who gets hold of one is hanging onto it for dear life, and if anybody's got one going spare, it goes for tens of thousands of quid on eBay.
Could you try to get hold of one of these?
I can go around my network of former members, but I can't promise anything.
Thank you. When is your next media appearance?
I'm on TV twice tonight.
Right. I'll give you something bigger later, but for now, you tell them this.
Don't you ever knock?
Why would I? We have no secrets in the centre.
No, of course not. Except in here, obviously.
There's some unrest building. Our longer-standing members are starting to feel a little less special.
I told you that would happen.
Well, it's irrelevant. In fact, it may work in our favour. Whilst they're squabbling over that, they're less likely to notice what else is going on.
True, but be wary.
With the doctor out of the way, nothing can pose a genuine threat.
That journalist is still at it, you know.
Let us try. Logic is a poor match for fear. Come in!
This is my office.
They're starting to get chippy about you. Goodman's wondering whether he got his chosen one prophecy quite right, and he's telling his most loyal about it.
Thank you, Karen. And thank you for sending David up to me. He may come in useful.
Keep us posted, Karen. And I must say, your acting recently has been first class. Really good work.
Thanks.
You can go now.
Oh. Yeah. Laters.
So, do we advance the plan slightly?
Part of it. Our most loyal members are going to get their reward a little sooner than they expected. Does Karen know?
No. There are quite a few aspects of the plan she doesn't know.
That's wise. These humans are our own people, after all. She might not be so willing if she knew. You seem to have some kinship with the humans. Are you sure you want to...
Oh, they're just a market to me, nothing more. They've been a good market, but I'll be pleased to move on to fresh challenges.
Are you fully protected for when the time comes?
Oh, no need. Where my people come from, there are races with psychic powers everywhere. We evolved defences against such things. Do you think I'd deal with you otherwise?
Is that a threat?
It's a friendly warning.
Oh, Doctor.
Any progress?
I've re-rigged the tracking systems as you suggested, but I haven't had time to scan very thoroughly yet. Sorry, but I'm working on my own and it's slow going. I can't get hold of any of the staff. Probably spending time with their friends and family just in case.
Well, maybe I can give you a boost. Connect this cable and this one to your systems. And what time is it?
5:27.
Oh, quick, we're missing it.
Missing what?
The television!
I have been passed information by a reliable source.
Look at this. This is data that has been picked up in space which originates directly from this so-called rebel sun. This is computer data and it comes from a computer system inside that thing.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying that thing is being controlled. It's not doing this of its own accord. Someone is controlling it. So the question is who and why, and I think there are some fairly obvious answers to that.
Can you name your source?
I'd rather not, because one of them is dead. He was poisoned.
It doesn't take a genius to work out that he knew something that somebody didn't want anybody else to find out.
They're too late. The momentum is already with us.
It's as well we're advancing our plans anyway.
Look at them, though. They're still such a long way from working it out. The poor darlings.
Doctor, this won't damage our systems, will it?
I imagine not. The TARDIS quite likes talking to other computers. Anyway, this should speed the whole process. What did I tell you? All done. Now, let's see. There.
And there.
And there, and there, and there.
There are dozens of them. No, hundreds.
All in the London area? It can't be getting instructions from this many sources. No, one of these is real. The others are red herrings.
So how can we tell?
I'll have to work out some kind of filter, I suppose. We don't have time for this.
Evening.
Oh, hi.
How are you settling in?
Oh, all right. I keep hearing stuff. That girl I talked to today, they say she's special?
Oh, yes. She's the chosen one. I brought her in, you know.
But I keep hearing people saying they don't like her or something.
Oh, don't worry about that. It's just a minor disagreement. It won't affect you.
Right. You can hardly see the stars.
No, I suppose not.
It's been like this since that thing turned up. Even when it's on the other side of the world, the ambient light still drowns out the stars. I just wish it would go.
It's here for a reason. And when it's gone, things will be better. You'll see.
Kelly? Kelly!
Doctor. Oh.
Have you only just woken up? It's 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
best part of the day. Come on. There's work to be done.
Oh, give me a break. I was on Newsnight last night, and then I was trying for another appearance this afternoon. I didn't get back here till one. What have you got for me?
Ta-da!
What the hell's that?
What were you expecting?
Well, the way you talked about it, I thought it was going to be some piece of dynamite inside information. Not some cobbled-together gadget.
Well, if you don't want it.
No, I didn't mean it. Okay, what does it do?
Well, it's a simple triangulation device for the stellar manipulator. Found out how to build one in the TARDIS library.
So it'll get us control of that thing?
Well, if only. No, its controller will be unique and isomorphically keyed to, well, to whoever's controlling it. But if you activate it, the manipulator will note its location and respond.
So what good will that do?
Well, the response is quite dramatic. And it'll show people that that thing doesn't have a will of its own. That it's just a piece of technology.
Did you see? That journalist's been all over the television and radio this morning. She says she's going to turn the sun green at midday today.
Really? What for?
She thinks she can prove it's not a real sun.
What time is it now?
11:48. Hello? Thank you, Karen. They're massing in the main hall. They're demanding to see you.
Oh, that's ideal. I'll go down and hear them out.
You've got a camera trained on it, yeah? Got it? Okay, stand back. We're going to activate in 10, 9, 8. Actually, you know what? Just to prove that I can choose to do this whenever I want, I'm going to do it now. Give it a minute.
Lucy.
Hello, everyone. You wanted to speak to me?
Yes. Now, you've introduced some new ideas, new approaches.
Yes, as you predicted I would, as we must, given the way our situation has changed these past few weeks.
Not all of us have full confidence in the changes, and I'm concerned we're losing sight of our original purpose.
Which was to help people. Isn't that what we're doing?
Mr. Goodman! Mr. Goodman!
What is it?
Come and look! The sun! The sky!
Now, don't be alarmed. This is totally safe. It's just the colour of the light has changed in response to the signal I just put out. I'm just doing this to demonstrate that the sun is an artificial object responding to outside stimulus. And we should all consider that if I can do this, then...
What's happening?
I'm not sure.
You must know. You're foretold this.
It's
a sign.
A sign of what?
That the next phase is due. Members who join before the sun's appearance should go to the main hall and concentrate on their crystals. Spread the message to all members worldwide. Their reward is at hand.
Westwood, who claims to be responsible for today's bizarre event, has been waging a campaign against the Eightfold Truth for the past few years, publishing 2 books.
How did you get in?
Time machine. I thought I'd wait for you.
Oh, I thought I had burglars.
You may have noticed that your plan didn't work as such.
Oh, no, I can't believe it. It's just made people panic even more.
Oh, they don't understand it.
But we're explaining it to them.
They're not listening. Not the ones who are joining up, anyway.
Is it just me, or are they being incredibly stupid? I just can't believe what I'm seeing. You know, it's at times like this I wish I was back on Orbis.
Orbis?
A planet. Long way from here. It was my home. For 600 years.
600?! Why did you leave?
It was destroyed. Lucy came and got me.
Seems like... Well, like you owe her.
That's for sure. She's a remarkable girl, all right. And the universe wouldn't be quite the same without her. But I don't mind telling you, I've reached a bit of a dead end here.
This might speed things up. One of my contacts came forward and gave me his old crystal.
He doesn't want anything to do with it after what they put him through. Doesn't even want to sell it.
Oh, Kelly. This changes everything.
Lucy, what's this reward? Tell me.
Your oldest followers are going to be of great importance to the new world we're building.
New world?
New world, new universe, as far as we can reach out.
What are you going to do?
A new faith, unified, and this will be its focus.
And we're going to lead it?
Not you. You're of no use. We know what a cynical, exploitative wretch you really are.
What?
But your followers, they will be the vessels. Ah, it sounds like they've started without us.
Do you know what this crystal means? It means things are even worse than I thought.
Why? What is it?
It's a Metabilis crystal.
Oh my God, what's happening?
Mr. Goodman, help us!
Huge spiders!
Do not dare to use that word!
They just appeared from nowhere!
What the hell's going on?
What was always supposed to happen? Your followers belong to the Eight Necks.
Some water.
Thanks. Well, how did I do?
It's not a question of doing well or badly, Lucy. This process is about finding a course of action that's complementary with your...
Oh my! Look at that! What is it?
Is she really...
She is! Look! She is of all the people!
What is that?
What is that?
The new face of L'Oreal.
Hi, my name is Sheridan Smith and I play Lucy Miller.
It's a bit of a different script because it's a two-parter, but the two plot strands really split down to being yours and Paul's. So we're really doing a day with you and then a day with Paul later, aren't we?
Yeah.
So what's that been like?
It's quite strange not having Paul here, you know, and I miss him when he's not here. But that's how we've ended up doing it. So Paul's stuff is being done next week, I think. So all my stuff's done today, which is it's great. You know, there's all the rest of the cast in. We're just missing the Doctor. Oh, it's only called Doctor Who, don't worry. But yeah, no, it's fine the way it's working out. But it does feel like Lucy's on her own a bit here. She misses the Doctor.
And we've got Katrina back as the headhunter. What's it like to have old friends around?
Oh, it's brilliant, because I was in the booth today when she came in and I couldn't get to see her. We were like, you know, touching on the glass as if to say, hi, I'll see you in a minute. But I've not seen her since last year because, you know, we haven't crossed paths this year.
My name is Kerry Godleman and I play Karen.
Hi, Kerry. You've joined us as Karen, haven't you? We had Louise Fullerton playing the role before. Now you've taken it over. What's it been like stepping into... somebody else's part?
It's been lovely, actually. I didn't up until getting the job, I didn't know of the CDs and stuff, so I was sent them when I was asked to do it and I had a chance to listen to it, and it was really lovely to step into quite an established part. Fortunately, I was told not to worry too much about doing an impersonation of Louise, but just to play it how, you know, to play Karen my way, and it's been lovely.
And you've just taken it and run with it, haven't you?
Yes, I feel like I have. I feel like it's a really sort of straightforward character, really. I don't feel that far... I hope I'm not as, don't misbehave to the extent that Karen does. But I don't think Karen's a million miles away from my own persona, really.
You had very few days' notice before you came in to do it, and I say you threw yourself into it. What's it been like immersing yourself in this weird old world of Doctor Who?
It has been... It's interesting, isn't it, Doctor Who? Because it's just so extreme that it's almost... It's just playing. I think that's the way of making it work for you. You just think, oh, it's just really playing and throwing yourself into it.
Talking to poor old Anthony Spargo, actually, just now, and he has a real spider fixation, actually. Can't bear them. How are you with them?
I'm kind of indifferent to them, really. As long as they don't kind of crawl into my mouth or something really extreme. But if they just sort of hang out in their area... I'm happy for them to hang out in their area. I read Charlotte's Web as a kid, and I've always had an affection for spiders. Probably that's probably why Charlotte's Web was written, wasn't it? To just sort of good PR for spiders. Yes, and I've always thought, oh, spiders are okay. They saved Wilbert the pig.
We've had a very unusual schedule for recording this. We recorded half of it about a month ago, and that was with all of Sheridan's scenes, and yeah, we're doing the other half today with all of Paul's scenes. What's that like, having that big gap between the two recording days?
I don't think it's that difficult for actors, because that sort of is pretty much how filming works sometimes, isn't it? And there's no, the chronology can all get, you know, mixed up and stuff like that. It's fine. I find being an actor involves a lot of that type of thing, and popping in and meeting people and then not seeing them again for a little while and then coming back and picking up where you left off. So it's part of the job, really. I'm sort of used to it. I like it.
And you're an actor and comedian, aren't you?
Yes, yeah, I do stand up as well, yeah.
I mean, how important is that side to you? Are they both as important as the other to you?
They've become so. I think when I started out in comedy, it was just for fun, really, as a sort of kind of hobby, although I don't know if that's quite the right word. But it was never my intention to become a professional. But it became... It went well, so I stuck with it, and now I work the circuit and I go to Edinburgh Festival and I do it as a job. But I do love acting, and I did go to drama school, and acting was what I did long before I was a comic. So now I feel as enthusiastic about both. And people often say, you know, what's your preferred one, and what would you choose? But you never have to choose, because this industry doesn't really ever command that much of my time in either capacity. So it's like, well, you can actually do both. I mean, if someone said, oh, look, you've got to stop stand-up because we want you to be a lead in an amazing comedy drama sitcom, I'd go, all right, then. That would be absolutely fine. Cool. Yeah, and if someone said, you can't do acting for a few months because we want you to do a stand-up tour of America, I'd say, fine. You know, it just depends on the job.
And have you found working with Paul McGann?
Lovely. He seems really lovely. I only met him today because it was Sheridan last time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he seems great. He's a great doctor. That's a lovely... combination, isn't it, of Doctor and Sidekick. I can really see
they're fantastic, aren't they?
Yeah, that's a really good bit of casting.
Sophie Winkleman, Kelly Westwood.
Hi, Sophie. What did you make part of Kelly when you read the script?
I think she's brilliant. I think she's fiery and determined and strong and impressive. All sorts of things I wish I had a bit more of. She's wonderful. It's a joy to play her.
She's really a woman on a mission, isn't she, at the start of the story?
I like her fury. I've literally just done a scene with Stephen Moore, him being very smooth Goodman, and her just absolute rage. And I like people who are tireless and strong in their beliefs. She's brilliant.
Have you done any of your scenes with Paul yet?
Yes, I have. Yes, he's a smooth-voiced doctor.
He is great, isn't he?
Really fantastic. It was brilliant.
What do you make of this Doctor Who world? Had you watched the show when you were younger?
I was very aware of the Doctor Who phenomenon without ever immersing myself in the actual world of it. So I didn't know the sort of details and the sort of, you know, the brain ovens and the rebel suns and all the exciting weird things. But it's been quite an intro doing this. I'm now going to become rather a diehard fan, I think.
It's quite a wild story, isn't it? Because I know we were talking out there and I was just sort of giving a précis of what the plot was, and I just kind of thought, well, this sounds absolutely bizarre.
But the brilliant thing about it is that if you sort of do summarise it, it does sound just barking. And actually, if you actually read these plays and get into them, they seem very possible. And actually, so many insane things are happening in the world anyway. I don't think they do seem that unlikely. And I think this is so well written that I think it I think you get swept along in the world and everything's very possible and it's all very real, which I love about it.
And how are you with spiders?
I don't mind them. My sister is terribly arachnophobic and has a heart attack if she even sees a little leg in a bath. I don't mind them. I pigeons, now we're talking, but spiders I can cope with.
Pigeons? What?
Pigeons. Any flap of a pigeon near me and I go very strange. But no, I think I could cope if the world was taken over by spiders. It might be better than some of the people who are ruling us now.
My name is Sanjeev Bhaskar. I'm playing Dr. Sangakkara.
Hi, Sanjeev. I think you're the first person who's got an OBE who we've had here at Big Finish.
Well, that's just slightly tragic, isn't it? No, it's kind of like I may be the first person to get an OBE and have put it on eBay as well. So.
You must have been very proud when that happened, wouldn't you?
It was okay. You know, it was all right. I was pleased for my parents, actually. I mean, they came along and I kind of thought, you know, they were both born under the British Raj, which makes them sound like 1,000 years old. And I just thought at the time that, you know, they were born under British rule and then India became an independent country and then they came to Britain and everything. At no part of that journey would they ever have imagined that their progeny would be kind of received by the Queen at Buckingham Palace. So for them and their generation, I think it was that's where the source of my pride was rather than in me getting one.
You seem to know Paul actually coming in today. Had you worked together in the past?
Paul and I worked together 10 years ago, actually. It was probably the first dramatic thing I did. And it was a short film called Dance of Shiva. And it was an extraordinary film. Paul was a kind of co-lead. We were co-leads in this film. And it was about, he played a chaplain in the First World War who suddenly has to administer to a platoon of Indian soldiers. And I was the main sergeant. And it was an extraordinary experience because even though it was a short film, it was full of legends, basically. There was Jack Cardiff, who's in his 90s now, a cinematographer who worked on The Red Shoes and A Matter of Life and Death, worked on all those Powell and Pressburger stuff, and The African Queen and things like that. He was on board as a consultant for the visuals. And we had John Box, who was David Lean's designer, and John Mitchell, who did sound on a lot of the Bond films and stuff like that. And Kenneth Branagh came on board because of those people. And it was this extraordinary 2.5 weeks that we worked together. And Paul, again, is a bit of an expert on the First World War as well. He knows masses about it. So apart from working with somebody who I hugely admired anyway, I got all this extra information from him as well. And we've kind of kept in touch over the years. We've just kind of texted and occasionally kind of met up. But this is the first time I've worked with him in 10 years, so it's fantastic.
Let's talk about Doctor Who. I mean, you've come in, you've not done Doctor Who or science fiction before, have you?
I haven't, no. And the irony being that I'm a huge Doctor Who fan and a huge science fiction fan, really? So it's a real thrill for me.
Looking back over the years, is there a Doctor that you grew up with?
Well, I suppose the first one, John Pertwee was the Doctor when I was kind of a kid. And so from John Pertwee onwards, I suppose. And John Pertwee and then Tom Baker, who I think he regenerated into. That was very exciting. And then I discovered girls and I kind of dropped out of the kind of following Doctor Who for a while and then came back into it, I think, when Peter Davison was playing the Doctor. And then, of course, the one-off film that Paul did, which I thought was great, actually. And I thought he was a fantastic Doctor in it. That was very exciting. And then, you know, alas, you know, visuals of Doctor Who for some years. And then when they brought it back with Christopher Eccleston, I was really hooked.
Well, one thing that's been so exciting for us at Big Finish is actually to see Paul go into a whole series of these audios and just really to see how he would play the Doctor. And it's just been wonderful for us.
Well, I think that's fantastic. And I think, you know, he's the perfect voice for it. And I think the fact that he's played the Doctor gives listeners the opportunity to be able to visualise somebody quite clearly. And I think he was such a good Doctor. I mean, I'm not sure what happened about rights and whether the BBC were particularly interested at that time about bringing it back. But he was and would have been the perfect Doctor.
Now, you mentioned you were watching whilst John Pertwee was the Doctor. I mean, this story is actually a very delayed sequel to his last story with giant spiders in. I don't suppose do you remember watching the spiders back then?
Do you know, the spiders ring a bell, but I didn't know whether that was just, you know, because I've had dreams about spiders and I wasn't sure whether it was something I recalled or whether it was, you know, the result of eating too much cheese late at night. So no, I didn't know that was a follow-on from that.
Yeah, we thought we'd strike fear in arachnophobes everywhere. Let's talk a bit about your character, Vishka. What did you make of him when you first read the script?
Do you know what kind of interested me about him, or you know, the element that I found interesting was that although he's a scientist and he's working on, you know, these interstellar probes and things like that, he does seem to take everything in his stride. And even though, you know, he's presented with impossible and ludicrous sounding situations, you know, he's dealing with a doctor who tells him he's an alien. That aliens have taken over this probe that has travelled from the other side of the galaxy. He kind of takes it all in his stride. And I quite like that kind of laid-back thing of, oh, well, OK, I suppose we'll have to deal with that then. And that was quite nice, actually, the fact that you have a doctor who comes from a culture where the regeneration doesn't freak him out because it's not that far from reincarnation. And so there were lots of little elements, lots of little details like that about... Sangakkara that I really liked.
I noticed you were having lots of fun whilst you were doing it. A load of laughs. Is that a way you like to work? I mean, just to have fun with it?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I mean, I tend not to kind of try to invoke too much kind of mayhem while we're doing the work, because I'm quite serious about the work and, you know, I want to do a good job. But certainly, you know, on the bits outside it, before somebody shouts action and before someone's, and after someone says cut, I think so, and because also I think that with actors, you end up wanting to relate to each other as human beings. And humour has always, for me, been one of the cornerstones of being able to do that. You know, I've worked on productions where people, if they've got to play someone who hates you, they'll kind of keep their distance. And I just think, well, that's ridiculous. You know, you can't take characters home with you. It works for some people, but by and large, you know, it doesn't work for me.
Doctor Who is a show that... has been remembered for years, always will be remembered. And I think the Kumars will be as well. It's something that people hold with deep affection. I mean, how do you feel about the fact that it will endure over the years?
Well, it's, you know, it's a bizarre thing about working in an industry where things are recorded, which is that you now know that because of the technical elements of recording, that they will now be around forever. And especially in this day and age where there seems to be such a hunger from very young people about being famous. You know, the recordings kind of at least allow, you know, your and everybody else's kind of skill, their effort and their work to be recognized and preserved in some way, as opposed to simply being blindly about being known or famous or whatever. And that's particularly true, I think, of audio recordings, because there's, you know, let's face it, there's no glamour in audio recordings. And so everybody who turns up to do it wants to do it. And there's, you know, the few that I've done, alas, the few that I've done, have always been a great experience for that. So, yeah, the kind of the fact that something like Kumars will kind of live on in some shape, way or form is, yeah, quite frankly, a bit bizarre, but incredibly flattering.